Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the Vines again this beautiful Sunday morning. The wonderful Brian Fittock is going to lead us in an Anzac commemoration. Thanks, Brian.
Well, good morning, everybody. I'd like to say a big hello to David, who's still not well. He's usually my sidekick for today. I've done this a couple of times with him, and if he's watching this, g'day, David. The Great War caused a lot of anxiety to everybody, and it was an opportunity for a lot of the young Australians to go on their biggest adventure that they're ever likely to have, not knowing what the outcome of the trip's going to be. And a lot of them never come home, but they were quite willing to go even when they did know what they were likely to face. When you see them going off on the ship, they're all happy and they all willingly went. And with my particular experience in the Navy, we had the option to get out if we wanted to, you know, when we went to Vietnam. We had the option not to go, which a lot of the soldiers and that never had that option. And we had a couple that did opt out and left the ship and went to other ships that weren't going to go away. But the ones that did go, you know, they were all volunteers and we had quite a good time. And the first time when any of you ever had live firings from a gun is a real something to remember. We left Sydney and we had a bit of fanfare and a lot of protesters, you know, they're down the Garden Island at the dockyard. I don't know if many of you remember, but there was a real lot of protests, a real controversial war, and we were out there with the bands playing, sending us off, and all the protesters were at the front waving their banners and everything. Anyway, it was quite a good send-off. And leading into it, we all had, we did lots of exercises down off Jervis Bay, doing all sorts of high-speed runs and refueling at sea and, you know, firing the guns and everything at land targets. And a totally different sensation when you get to a destination and you start using live ammunition instead of practice ones. And our first shots, we went into Da Nang Harbour on it was a real overcast day, and around there there's all the mountains and everything. We were right in the harbour, and that was when we first fired our guns. And just the sound of live firing is really brings it home to you what you're there for. Anyway, we did that for 7 months, which is a short time compared to a lot of what the soldiers did in the Second World War, or the First World War. And so we were very lucky, but we never got hit or shot at very much, and we all come home, not like a lot of the soldiers that we're celebrating today. I've just got a poem here that Wendy found for me, and I've read it a couple of times, and I'll just read to you. Brave men, we salute you and remember you today, fighting on the battlefields in lands not so far away. Australians and New Zealanders who fought so gallantly, side by side together for all of us to see. Many died and some came home, their lives were not the same. The Anzacs were heroic in bravery and in name, lest we forget. Right, I'll just now read the ode and be followed by the last post. They shall not grow old as we that are left grow old. Age shall not weary them, nor the years condemn. At the going down of the sun and in the morning, we will remember them. Now play the last post. Thank you. lest we forget.
Thank you, Brian. It evokes lots of memories. Lord God, we praise you and thank you for this day, for the opportunity to remember, the opportunity to be thankful, the opportunity to rejoice in your grace and mercy and the freedom that is ours in and through our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Let's stand together and sing. King David. Blessed, praised, adored, and thanked are you, O Lord God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. Indeed, everything that is in the heavens and on the earth, yours is the dominion and kingdom, O Lord. And you exalt yourself as head over all. Both riches and honor come from you, and you rule over all. In your hand is power and might, and it is in your hands to make great and to give strength to everyone. Now, therefore, our God, we thank you and praise your glorious name. And from Psalm 51. Have mercy on us, O God, according to your unfailing love, according to your great compassion, blot out our transgressions, wash away all our iniquity, and cleanse us from our sin. And the Psalms, sometimes I think for some of them, have already been answered. And so we can read what I just read in a different way. We praise you, O God, that you have had mercy on us according to your unfailing love. According to your great compassion, you have blotted out our transgressions. You have washed away all our iniquity and cleansed us from our sin. Amen. Please take your seats. Now, as we all know, David Pryor has been unwell, and Marge is going to come and share with us a few things on behalf of David, on behalf of the leadership team, as to where David's at the moment. So thank you, Marge.
Thank you, David. I'm sure many of you are anxious to know how David is travelling at the moment. On Friday evening, Colleen received this message from David's wife, Ellie. And Ellie writes on behalf of David, "Thank you all for your love, thoughts and prayers over the last 10 days, which I have felt. It has certainly been a very difficult and emotional time for me and the family. Who would have thought that a virus could wreak so much havoc on one person's health?" Remember, these are David's words. Please see David as I read them. "Prior to April the 13th, I had 10 days of feeling extreme fatigue, then a few days of sore glands, numbness and tingling in all my limbs, but I kept soldiering on. On the 13th, I could hardly walk or weight bear. When Ellie returned from work that day, she took me to Modbury Hospital for care, and eventually I was transferred to the Lyell McEwen Hospital, where I currently am. I am receiving the best of care and feeling very blessed and fortunate that I live in Australia, because we truly do have a wonderful healthcare service. After multiple tests, they discovered that I have caught the cytomegalovirus, which is common, and 50% of the population can catch it at some time in their life, with many not having any ill effects from this at all. However, in my situation," this is David, "this has led to a weakened immune system, resulting in the development of Guillain-Barré syndrome. I've had a relapse in my progress, and I am now residing within the intensive care unit at Lyell McEwen Hospital. They are giving me wonder juice," and you can kind of hear David say that, can't you? "They are giving me wonder juice and cleaning my blood of the virus. I do feel somewhat perkier after these treatments, but I have a long way to go. I'm still unable to move my limbs, and feeding is through a tube, but I am very hopeful that I will return to my normal self. But it will take some time, with rehabilitation envisioned into the future. Unfortunately, I have no energy," please hear this, "I have no energy to be able to respond to emails or chat with you. I long to return and be with you, but at this stage, when that will be is unknown. I will continue to uphold you all in my thoughts and prayers. Love, DJP." hit me like a bomb when I got that email from Colleen. But I want us now to just empty our minds of everything, but visualize David with God's hands upon him in a quiet place, alone, as I pray. And I ask you to join with me in this prayer. Great physician, whose power is beyond our understanding, we come before you today humbly and prayerful. We ask for your healing hand to be on our friend and minister, David, who is going through a very challenging health crisis at this time. We pray that he might respond well to the wonderful care of those professionals who are ministering to him. May your loving hands guide them as they discern the way forward so that David might be fully renewed in health and spirit. We also lift up Ellie and the family to you at this time of anxiety. We just ask that you will hold them tight, give them courage for the days ahead, and grant them peace as the days unfold. We trust in the knowledge that you are able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to your power that is at work within us. In the power of the Holy Spirit, we ask that you would grant our friend, colleague, father, grandfather, husband, a full and complete recovery. And we offer this prayer in the precious name of Jesus. But at the same time, Lord, we ask for wisdom, understanding, and ability to move forward as a church, not to let David down, but to do the best we can to keep us all on top and steadily working for you. And that is our prayer through the precious name of Jesus. Dear Lord, amen.
Good morning, everyone. Friday Friends is happening again this coming Friday, April the 28th, between 10 a.m. and 11:30 a.m. here at the Vines. Friday Friends is a great opportunity to build connections, make new friends, and simply have a lovely, relaxed morning over a coffee, tea, and some lovely food. You can bring a neighbour, a friend, or you can just come along and chat with a friend whom you have not met yet. We hope to see you there. The next gathering of home aloneers will be for lunch at the Old Nalonga Hotel on Tuesday, May the 2nd at 12:15 p.m. If you are planning to attend, please speak to Bob Stone or Bob Manson by next Sunday, which is April the 30th, so they can confirm numbers with the hotel. The community outreach team would like to say a big thank you to everyone who contributed to the Vines Market on April 15, whatever your contribution was. Just another reminder that we were able to raise over $3,000, which was a wonderful effort. The Children's Church school holiday event was held last Thursday. 8 children attended and the morning was amazing. Special thank you to the whole team who worked to bring the morning together. Thank you.
Thank you, Hope. And just a reminder, as per usual, to have a look at the grapevine. I don't think there's much else in the grapevine that Hope didn't share with us just now, but it's always worth having a look at. Thanks. Thanks, Krista.
Thank you. Good morning, everybody. Are there any children here today that would like to come forward? Come and hang out. Thank you. I've got big shoes to fill, haven't I? I've got Chinese. There we go. Oh, thank you. Do you know, I have done a few dodgy David drawings. We call them Kristen's Crazy Creations, but today we've got Kristen's Crazy Capers. So we have, what do I have? What have I got?
Fan.
Yep, it's a fan. Thank you for joining. What does it do? What does it do?
Make air.
It makes the air. Ooh, forever in space needs some air, we could do that. But what does it make air do? cools us down. Yeah. Do you think that the air stays still around the fan, or do you think that it moves?
Moves.
It moves, yes, but everyone agree? Does it move? Kids online? Anyone? Yeah, it moves. But we can't see it, can we? No, can't see it. So how do we know that it moves?
We can feel it.
You can feel it? Oh, should we test it? You feel it? You can feel it? You can feel it? But we can't see it. And this is what I find amazing about air, is that we can't see it move, but we know that it is moving. And this is a little bit like our faith in God. No one can see our faith. It's in our sight. Fan faith. Fan faith, I like that. No one can see our faith, but God can see it, and God knows it's there. And we can see the effects of our faith. We can see that our prayers help people to feel, to connect with God and to feel better, and we can see that invisible world, it does have an effect. It changes. And in fact, if I hold this balloon above the fan, we will see. Up and up. There we go. We have movement. We can see the effects of the air. So we can't, without the fan, the balloon just falls down. But when the air is on, when our faith is on, it can move mountains, it can change things. Things in the invisible world will move with our faith in our heart. God can always see it. Okay, even if we can't see it, we've got to keep our faith. All right? Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you give us faith. We thank you that we can have faith in you and that you never let us down. We pray that you'll help everyone's faith here to grow, especially the kids, and we can put our trust in you always. In Jesus' name, amen. I have a little page for you as well today. Children's Church will be back on the end of the first week of school, but until then.
This morning's first reading is from Acts chapter 2, verses 14a and verses 22 to 32. But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them. Fellow Israelites, listen to what I have to say. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested to you by God with deeds of power, wonders, and signs that God did through him among you, as you yourselves know, this man handed over to you according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God, you crucified and killed by the hands of those outside the law. But God raised him up, having released him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for him to be held in its power. For David says concerning him, I saw the Lord always before me, for he is at my right hand, so that I will not be shaken. Therefore my heart was glad, and my tongue rejoiced. Moreover, my flesh will live in hope. For you will not abandon my soul to Hades, or let your Holy One experience corruption. You have made known to me the ways of life. You will make me full of gladness with your presence. Fellow Israelites, I may say to you confidently of our ancestor David, that he both died and was buried, and his tomb is with us to this day. Since he was a prophet, he knew that God had sworn an oath to him that he would put one of his descendants on his throne. Foreseeing this, David spoke of the resurrection of the Messiah, saying, he was not abandoned to Hades, nor did his flesh experience corruption. This Jesus God raised up, and of that all of us are witnesses. The second reading is from John chapter 20, verse 19 to 31. Jesus appears to the disciples. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors were locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." And after he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." Jesus and Thomas. But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the marks of the nails in his hand and put my finger in the mark of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." The purpose of this book. Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples that are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may continue to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing you may have life in his name. This is the word of the Lord.
Please remain seated while we sing this next song.
We meaning you, Anna. We're not just going to sing.
Thank you, Rob.
That's quite okay.
In Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storms. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are still, when striving cease. My comforter, my all in all, here in the love of Christ I stand. In Christ alone, who took on flesh, fullness of God in helpless babe, this gift of love and righteousness, scorned by the ones he came to save. Till on that cross, as Jesus died, the wrath of God was satisfied. For every sin on him was laid, here in the death of Christ I live.
For the next 4 weeks, I will be taking the message. I'm not David, and you know that. He's taller than me. But I invite you all to continue to share and participate in the ministry load that David normally has. So David was leading the music, and Kristen was doing the children's message, and Hope was reading the notices, and we had a prayer and a word from Marge, and Brian began the service with the Anzac commemoration. And that is the collective body of Christ at work. So I invite you to continue doing that. I wasn't going to do it, but I'm going to. As you came in, I hope you got a stone. Now, these stones, you'll notice, if you were looking in the basket, are different colours and different sizes and different shapes. And that will have some significance later in this service. But let me begin with prayer. Come, Holy Spirit, and open our ears and our eyes and our hearts that we may hear your word for us today. Amen. Amen. I've sometimes thought that the church should start a 12-step course for recovering skeptics. Now, when we meet for worship, I think we should admit that we have had doubts and questions about our faith. And you know how that would sound. Like at an Alcoholics Anonymous meeting, we should begin worship by saying something like, "My name is Ian Kitto, I'm not perfect, and I still have doubts about my faith." It should work. It vibrated. And I pressed the button. There we go. It's always good when the technology works. Now, you all know that I'm not perfect, because none of us ever is. And my life, like I suspect many of yours, has been marked at times by all sorts of things like doubts and fears and loneliness and sense of inadequacy, or sometimes even self-loathing for some of us, as we realise that we've failed to be perfect or anything like that yet again. And we don't like to fail, and we don't like it when the technology doesn't work when you press the buttons. And I think, if I fail, will people think the worse of me? And I think we're all like that, aren't we? We have doubts about the future of the world. I know I fall into the trap at times of thinking that it's all down to human efforts, and if I don't lift my game, then the world's going to fall apart, or the church will fall apart. And I feel bad when I think of that, because I've left God out of the equation. And with God, all things are possible. And like you, I suspect that I disappoint other people, and whether that's my family, Karen, my wife, or friends, church people, the community. And we don't like doing that, but it keeps happening. And perhaps it's just me and you're not like that. But the evidence and experience of many years of being disappointed by people, many of whom, or some of whom, are church people, is that I'm not alone. And I think most of us have, as it were, an inner persona that we try to hide from other people. It's a persona, an impression of who we are, that we hide behind the mask, pretending and hoping that we are okay and that other people won't recognise what we are really like. So does this sound a bit like you? Well, we're in good company. There was once a bunch of people, a motley collection of folk from different backgrounds, who were brought together on purpose, who had to confront their own fears and doubts. For instance, they were afraid of the authorities, so they hid behind the locked doors. They thought their lives were going in a particular direction, and then it all changed, and they experienced deep disappointment when it all went horribly wrong. And I'm talking, of course, about Jesus' disciples. They'd been on this wonderful, glorious journey with Jesus. They'd been learning about all sorts of things. They'd been practicing the miraculous things, wonderful things, like seeing healings take place and deliverance of people delivered from evil spirits. They were seeing marginalised people discover hope again. And they tasted the wonder with thousands of other people of being fed a miraculous, by a miraculous division and distribution of just a few loaves of bread and a few fish. And then the journey had ended horribly when Jesus was crucified, unjustly, cruelly, painfully killed by this instrument of torture that involved being nailed to the cross arms and the upright of a wooden cross. But that wasn't the end of the story either. Because now some people were saying that Jesus was alive. Jesus wasn't dead. But how could this be? Well, when we can't understand the physics or biology or make any sense of the science that must be involved, we have doubts too. And that's why it is easy for climate change deniers or opponents of the case for an Indigenous voice to Parliament and religious sceptics to sow doubts into the minds of so many of us. Just by saying, are you sure? Is it really true? You don't really believe that, do you? And when they do that, the doubts are magnified. I think that's now called gaslighting, because you do it with social media on your smartphone. But the result of all that is that we start to doubt what in other contexts we would accept without hesitation. And that's the power of doubt. You know, just throw a hint of uncertainty in and we're no longer sure of anything. You know, we start to think that black is white, that 2 + 2 doesn't make 4. And it's like that with our faith too. So when the disciples are hiding behind the locked door not long after the crucifixion, you know, after Jesus has been seen alive by some of his followers, you know, their minds are full of confusion and doubt and uncertainty. And they hope it's true, but they dare not let that thought emerge or disappear. And then suddenly, Jesus himself appears in their midst. The locked doors didn't stop him. Now, in other contexts, with other leaders, we would expect to hear the Jesus equivalent berate the followers with their followers with stern words, perhaps telling them off for doubting, for not believing, and complaining about the way that they ran away and deserted him when he was arrested, things like that. But not Jesus. Entirely in keeping with his lifestyle of love, Jesus says with gentleness and compassion, "Peace be with you." Peace. And then he shows them his hands and his side and the marks of his torture and death, and he says again, "Peace be with you." And then in this account in John's Gospel, Jesus gets up close and breathes on them. And they receive the Holy Spirit. Not the stench of death, but the breath of life. And they are commissioned with the power to forgive sins or not. Now clearly, this was yet another life-changing moment for them. Have you ever had one of those moments? When in the twinkling of an eye, you realise that everything is now different. It might be experiencing the birth of a child or the death of a loved one. It might be a close encounter with death or a major health scare that you survive. One like perhaps like David's going through. When we have one of those moments, our eyes are opened in a very dramatic way to the possibility of life being radically different from then on. But, and it's a big but, if we're not actually present when this miraculous stuff happens, then we tend to be far more sceptical. We want proof for ourselves, firsthand, or we simply won't believe it. And that's how Thomas the twin was. Unless I see for myself. But a week later, Thomas is with the rest of the disciples, and amazingly, Jesus appears again. And he still doesn't berate Thomas for his doubts, but invites him to experience the feel of the nail holes and the spear points impression in his side. And this time, Thomas responds with that fantastic declaration of faith. My Lord and my God. He stopped his doubting and believed. Now, remarkably, this understanding has continued for the last 2,000 years or so. People have been told what happened behind the locked doors way back then, and some have believed. Hundreds of millions, in fact. You see, some people are like Thomas or Peter. They need to see for themselves. But other people have not seen Jesus firsthand for themselves, and yet they have believed. They are blessed indeed. There was a Presbyterian minister named Frederick Buechner who had a great definition of doubt. He said, whether your faith is that there is a God or that there is not a God, if you don't have any doubt, you are either kidding yourself or you're asleep. You're either kidding yourself or you're asleep. Doubts are the ants in the pants of faith. They keep us awake and moving. Isn't that a great... Doubts are the ants in the pants of faith. If we now skip forward to the day of Pentecost, 50 days after Passover, roughly 7 weeks after Easter, this motley crew of disciples demonstrate how much and how quickly they have grown stronger in their faith in the risen Jesus. Because on that day, Peter boldly stands up and declares that God has raised this Jesus to life, and we are all witnesses to it. Acts 2:32. But later, much later, Peter writes an epistle of hope in which he says this. Though you have not seen him, you love him, and even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy, for you are receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your souls. From 1 Peter 1 verses 8 and 9. Now, when Peter wrote that, the resurrection was just a distant memory. It's a long time earlier. But then people were seeing and hearing the impact of people's transformed lives, with faith in the resurrection continuing to have a significant impact on them. And yet, without the first-hand evidence of believers seeing the risen Jesus for themselves. And that's where we are today. We have to rely on the evidence of transformed lives in new believers. We have to have faith that what we read in the Bible is true. So what about you? What does it take for you to be inspired and transformed and to believe in the risen Jesus? Or are you still like Thomas the twin? No, Thomas the twin, not Thomas the doubter. Thomas the twin wanted to see the evidence for himself, and we often, some of us, want to see the evidence for ourselves. But our dilemma is that we're a couple of thousand years too late to stand around in a locked room and have Jesus come and appear and invite us to put our fingers into the holes in his hands and put our hand in his side. Although I might point out, that's still a possibility to happen. But what we have to do is to rely on the evidence of other witnesses. We have to trust that when believers say they have faith in the risen Jesus, and that's why they are transformed and their lives are now different. And it's a mystery how that's possible. For some people, you think there's no way that they could change from that terrible life that they were living. And yet, by the power of the Holy Spirit, as God touches us and others in a special way, we can and do come to faith in for ourselves, and our lives are changed. So here's what we can do. Now, I don't know where you are exactly in your faith journeys. You know, you might be 110% committed, a total believer, living the reality of your faith. You're over here somewhere. On the other hand, you might be over on this side. You might be on the farthest edges of faith, just filled with doubt. You're a skeptic. You're longing for proof. You're wanting to know for sure. And yet, you don't. Now, of course, you might not be over here. You might not be over here. You might be somewhere in the middle. Mostly sure of your faith, but occasionally your doubts and your uncertainties surface. And that's where the Thomas story, the story of Thomas, is reassuring, because it says to us that God's grace, God's amazing love of, that comes to us from Jesus, is not withdrawn from us because we have some doubts. Instead, Jesus keeps offering us this relationship of love, waiting, seeking, wanting us to respond with faith as hope is dangled before us and faith awaits. Philip Yancey, we've heard some of his stuff earlier this year, he said that doubt is the skeleton in the closet of faith, and I know of no better way to treat a skeleton than to bring it into the open and expose it for what it is. Not something to hide or fear, but a hard structure on which living tissue may grow. And there's something else too. We can have our doubts removed and live the life of faith and do it privately. And that's good, that's great. But if we're honest, if we're truly on fire for Jesus, then it is our holy responsibility to passionately tell other people about this Jesus whom God has raised from the dead, so that they too may know the new life and the hope and the love of Jesus. And we can't leave that sort of stuff to that mythical person whose name is someone else, capital S, capital E. As a writer called Susan Andrews says, again and again, Jesus comes to where we are, startling us and breathing on us and sending us to be the embodied hope for others. Like Thomas, we can miss the moment if we are so intent on proving God or playing God or pushing God that we don't actually ponder the presence of God. We can gather in community, joined by our common fear and our common vulnerability. And as the resurrected body of Christ in the world, we can experience God and then become together what we can never be alone. And isn't that a wonderful vision for the world? To become together what we can never be alone. If we accept this, if we allow the risen Jesus to love us and work within us and with us, amazing things can happen in this world. And lives really can be transformed. And forgiveness is expressed. And hurting people find love and peace. All because, as Peter said, this Jesus, you know, God has raised this Jesus to life. Now remember, I said none of us is perfect. And yet we can all be transformed to have a new relationship with God through faith in the risen Jesus. For as Laurel Dixter reminds us, no matter who you are, no matter what you've done or think you've done, whoever you've betrayed or let down, no matter how far you've gone from God, from Jesus, Jesus doesn't say to you, where are you? You're screwed up. Jesus greets you by saying, peace. You are not accused. You are invited. And the invitation is to have faith in Jesus. And so will you dare to say, yes, I believe? Will you dare to lay your burden of doubt and fear upon the cross of Christ? Will you invite and accept the invitation of Jesus, the risen crucified Christ, who loves you and forgives you and fills you with his indescribable grace? Will you do that? Well, what I'd like to do during the next song is to hold that stone that you were given and hold it in your hand. And as you sing the next song, think about your own doubts and fears. What is it that you struggle with in faith? And then after the song, I might get Kristen and Hope perhaps to go and grab a basket of one of these and to collect those stones from you, that we can then place them at the foot of the cross as we hand them over to God for God to deal with. Well, he's actually already dealt with them. But let these stones be the symbols of your doubts that are handed to God. Will you do that? Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we want to believe with honesty and integrity that you are real, that you are alive now still. And we want to believe that through faith in you, we have a relationship with God, that we are forgiven and we are empowered with grace for loving service in your name. So take from us this lingering doubt, reassure us of your presence, and enable our lives to bear witness to our faith. And so today, we take these small rocks, these bits of hard stone, and we hand them over to you as signs of us emptying ourselves of doubt. And when they are placed at the foot of the cross, we ask that you receive them with love and fill each of us with your transforming faith. For Jesus' sake we pray. Amen. Amen.
Mine's going to go in my back pocket, is that okay? I'm not going to play with it.
Yeah, I'm with Rob. I've had to put mine on the music stand, so I can't play and hold the stone at the same time.
It's in your pocket?
If I played with it, you know, it would be rock music. I've been really waiting to. I've been really waiting to use that one. Yeah, very good, very good.
Let's stand and sing together.
Change.
Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Pardon for sin and a peace that endureth. Thine own cheer and to guide, strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. Blessings all mine with 10,000 beside. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see.
Sends us blessings and brings us new life. So let us respond to God's generosity in community. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, you came amongst the scared disciples and showed yourself to them. And they came to faith, believing that you really were alive again. And now we dedicate these gifts, both the money we give back to you to be used wisely to bless and minister to hurting souls. And we give you these rocks, these symbols of our doubts, our hard hearts. And as we place them at the foot of the cross, we ask that you receive them as symbols of our doubts, that you'll forgive us and you will strengthen our faith. For Jesus' sake. Amen.
Please take a seat.
The words that came out of the reading very strongly to me this morning were the verse 21. Peace be with you, as the Father has sent me, so I am sending you. And that's the call to us, isn't it? I grew up in the church, but I always heard this call as a call to missionary service. I never really thought about it as me. But I think one of the things that really impressed me over the years when I went to a church, I think it was, can't remember where it was now, but across the doors, above the doors, as you went out from the service, were the words, "You are now entering a field of service." And that's true, isn't it? It's as we go, with our lives, we are carrying that service. So let's come to God in prayer. Dear God, we come today with heavy hearts as we lift up in prayer those who are sick. We think of David, whom we have brought to you this morning. There are others, Leon, and there are others amongst us. I leave to you to bring your thoughts to the Lord. We ask that you bring them healing and restoration to their body, mind, and spirit. We pray that you will grant them strength and courage as they face this difficult time. May they find comfort in your loving presence. and may they trust in your sovereign plan for their lives. We also pray for their carers, that they will be granted wisdom, patience, and compassion as they provide care and support. We pray that through this trial, they'll come to know you more deeply and experience your love in a profound way. Then come back to that verse again, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I'm sending you. The call to discipleship is a call to grace, for it depends on Jesus, the incarnate grace and the love of God. But such grace is costly because it calls us to follow, and it is grace because it enables us to follow. It is costly because it costs us our life, and it is grace because it gives us the only true life. We echo the words of Dietrich Bonhoeffer, the great theologian. My one desire is to know Christ and the power of his resurrection, and to share his sufferings and become like him in his death, in the hope that I myself will be raised from death. Then let us take heart what we find in Jesus Christ, who, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself and taking the form of a servant and become as human beings as we are. And sharing every way our human lot, he was humbled yet, even to accept death on the cross. Therefore he has also been highly exalted and given a name above every name, so that all beings in heaven, on earth, and in its depths should acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, the everlasting glory to God. So let's now join together as we say the Lord's Prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done. On earth as it is in heaven, it's our daily bread. Amen.
Just before we sing our last hymn, psalm, I just thought I would add that the leadership team of the church met on Tuesday morning and prayed and talked and thought and prayed and talked some more and emailed each other across the week and so on to bring, I guess, a kind of resolve as to what we do considering David's situation, and hence Ian is stepping up as point six over the next little while. But everything's going to continue because we are the body of Christ. We all have a part to play, and the wheels have not fallen off. We're feeling David's pain, yes, but we continue moving forward as part of the body of Christ. And we all have a part to play in the life of the church, whether David was well or whether he's in a place of unwellness at the moment. So let me encourage you, if you find yourself thinking, I wonder who's doing what? I wonder who's doing this? You could be doing whatever that is, but if you need to speak to anyone from the leadership team, you can speak to me or Ian or Marge, or Colleen or Kristen, and of course our meeting was absent by two members on Tuesday because of David and also Leon in his present situation. So please keep praying for David and his family, and please don't think by any means that the wheels have fallen off. They have not, because this is God's church and God will continue to guide us and direct us. Let's stand and sing. Day by day.
Day by day and hour by hour, your love for me from heaven flows like streams of water in the desert.
Wonderful thing to know that without a doubt we are carried through our lives by the loving grace and arms of Jesus. And it's also a wonderful thing to know that if or when we have doubts about our faith, we are still carried through our lives by the hands of Jesus. And so when we place our doubts before the cross of Jesus, remember that these have already been dealt with, and we can grow in our faith. And so shortly, we're about to end the service, and your mission as you leave through the doors is about to begin. But I invite you not to take your doubts, but to take one of these rocks which have representing your doubts and have been dealt with, that you might take them home, if you like, and put them somewhere and just be able to remember that those doubts have been dealt with on the cross of Jesus. And may, as we go from this place, may the blessings of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, Creator, Redeemer, and Sustainer of life, may God always go with us with those blessings, that we may live well, love deeply, serve passionately and sacrificially, and know the peace of Jesus always. Amen.
We are carried.